This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
It's now time for Connecting Caregivers with author, speaker, caregiver advocate, and talk show host, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for caregivers.
All the caregivers around the world today, it's time to lift you up. It's time to celebrate. Good afternoon and welcome to Connecting Caregivers with me, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregivers with love, laughter, and lessons learned on the show where you can find help and hope. And we have Mr. Ed on the boards today. How you doing, Ed?
Howdy, howdy on a Friday.
Howdy, howdy on a Friday.
Very
good Friday.
Nice looking Friday.
Like, oh my God, it's
this is
gorgeous.
Like the day that, you know, right around August when everything's been so hot since like March.
Right.
You just close your eyes and think of this day right here.
Yeah. This is a perfect day.
Tomorrow too, I believe.
Yep.
Yeah. Then we're getting cold again. Well, you're happy.
Yeah.
For a day or two.
Not me.
We're in the home stretch. We're in the home stretch, is what I feel.
When I moved here, I always remembered Valentine's Day was the end of winter, and then it got nicer. It doesn't anymore. Sometimes into April. But then the summer lasts longer.
Well, what's up next is our snow, only it's green and yellow. Which means
pollen.
Tree pollen is probably about a week or two away.
Yeah.
Usually mid-February is when it starts. Yeah.
Well, I'm so glad that you're with me today, Lynn, my best friend, my co-host, and my sidekick, not sidekick.
Oh, and it makes
me, when he just starts talking about that pollen, it makes me nervous for you, because I know you're
But I'm a lot better. When I first moved here, I was like, well, I went for shots and everything, but I'm a lot better now.
Yeah. Okay.
But it's not a happy time.
And with me, I have my friend and doctor, Dr. David Schumann. How are you today?
I am wonderful.
We're going to chat in a couple minutes. The first thing I want to do is I want to give a shout-out to our newest listeners. We have Shannon in Seminole, Kathy in Tampa, and Michaela in Largo.
Oh, welcome, ladies.
And like I always say, there's always plenty of room around the Connecting Caregivers table for more listeners, whether you listen on the radio or on YouTube or on Facebook or my website. We're just here to bring you help and hope and to let you know. If you have any questions about anything, you can email me through my website, lindaburhans.com, and if I don't know the answer, I'll find somebody that does. Very happy to be in this Tampa Bay area where professionals work together and really want to make a difference in the lives of our seniors and caregivers. So, and one more thing I want to say is, so last week was the caregiver contest, and our winner, Denise Hoffman, was supposed to come from Sarasota, but unfortunately, with her caregiving issues, something came up and she couldn't come, but she sent me a email and she said, Linda, I cannot tell you how much the caregiver basket meant to me. I'm sharing some of the goodies with my mom. It's so very nice to feel appreciated. Although my caregiving journey can be tough sometimes, I try to find the joy and laughter in every day. Thanks for all you do for caregivers. With love, Denise Hoffman. So thank
you.
Yeah, thank you. What she's done, what she does. She takes care of her mother who has dementia and her son that has some kind of physical capacity, you know, physical thing. But I want you to just go to my website, lindaburhans.com, and go caregiver contest. Every single person that gets nominated, it takes you like 2 minutes to nominate a caregiver. Every single person that gets nominated receives a gift from me. And then once a quarter, we have one big drawing, and we just pick out of the box because every caregiver is a winner to me. And you get a massage and a facial and some respite care and some gift cards and some books and a whole bunch of good stuff. So do it, because I'll tell you, when someone's just nominated, they go, oh, somebody thought about me.
Yeah, makes them feel good.
Well, when you're caring for somebody, they go, how's mom? How's dad? They don't go, how are you? Because first of all, I think part of them, they don't really want to know how you are.
It's a long answer.
It's kind of tough. So Dr. Schumann's with us today from Alexander Spine and Cairo and Pinellas Laser Lipo. So we've been friends for a while. I go to there every single week, either once or twice a week, because I really feel that chiropractic is one of the things in my toolbox that keeps me healthy, because it avoids other things that could happen, because I take care of what's going on now and I can monitor every week. The second thing is, when I broke my wrist a couple of years ago and the doctor took the cast off and I said, do you think I need physical therapy? And he said, no, just go home and like move your wrist around. And I was like, no, I want physical therapy. And I went to Dr. Schumann, I don't know, it was 4 or 6 weeks and everything, and I couldn't lift my fingers more than a half inch off the table, and now I can lift them as far as they need to go because I have physical therapy. So before we go to Dr. Schumann a little further, I want to let you know, if any of that happens, you tell your doctor, I want physical therapy. Right, Doc?
Absolutely, yeah. And there's not many doctors that are going to tell you no. They might not go out of their way to push for it, but if you request it, they're almost always going to give you a prescription.
Why wouldn't they just suggest it?
That's a good question.
I mean, it's not taking anything away from their practice.
It's
or their
very
business.
True. I don't know. And the sad part is that it's becoming a little more common. Patients have to ask or push for it. And, you know, I'm seeing poorer outcomes, especially with, you know, surgical, you know, intervention. If the patient doesn't get rehab after, they tend to do a little bit worse.
Yeah.
You know, so it doesn't hurt even to just do a month's worth of PT just to make sure that you're doing the right things at home to recover properly.
Well, and the thing is, what that doctor said to me is, oh, just go home and move your hand around. That's not what I needed to do. I needed to do specific exercises, and you showed me the specific exercises that I needed to do. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm amazed, too. I can think of a few patients that have come in recently that, you know, they had their surgery, and then they have, you know, usually 7 to 10 days after before they go back to the surgeon, and they're supposed to be doing something in that time period. It's usually gentle, you know, but they don't really go over this. They give them like a packet and they say, okay, we'll see you in 7 to 10 days, where there's no time being spent, and you know, patient half the time doesn't do it because they don't really
know. First of all, who's going to read the pack?
That's the thing.
I got enough to read. Yeah. And second of all, I want somebody. For the people that can see on YouTube, I want a therapist to come and say, I should be lifting my leg like this every day. I should be doing whatever I'm supposed to be doing. I'm not going to follow that.
Yeah. It's better when you practice and you're taught the right way before you're independent on your own.
Well, and the thing is, the fear is what happens when I don't have physical therapy.
And that's when nobody realizes until it's too late.
Right.
And then they have... you know, limitations.
Well, maybe, you know, I can't stand as well. Maybe I can't walk as well. Maybe
like I did. When I hurt my hand, I just did more exercise. Mm-hmm. That arm is still a little.
Is it really? Yeah. And some people just don't realize. They don't know. They don't know that it's normal to go for rehab. And they just accept, you know, what happens.
Well, they just accept take a pill.
Yeah. No, that's a whole nother, story there. But yeah, no.
But that's a big part of it because, yeah. if I go home and whatever surgery I've had or whatever, and I'm a little achy or not whatever, and I can just take a pill, well, then I don't even have to really think about it.
I mean, convenience, right? We live in an age where people would rather have pop a pill instead of doing the actual work it takes to recover properly. And
but I don't know how much that is convenience, because I can get up and walk in the morning. Instead of taking a pill, I can get up and go up and down the stairs a bunch of times instead of taking a pill. So I think we've just made that too easy, because our bodies were not built to take a pill.
No, not at all.
Because they're amazing machines. Mm-hmm. I mean, it just fascinates me. Fascinates me even when somebody tells me they're pregnant, and I think, oh my goodness, that little piece of spit and that little piece of spit got together and like. You grow a human being in your body.
Incredible. Yeah. But just like any other machine, right, you have to take care of it. You have to maintain it, right? Just like your car, you have maintenance, right?
Yeah.
And that's, you know, something that we strongly believe in is our wellness aspect,
right?
We do
more on your car than we do on ourselves.
100%. And I just had this conversation at work. We're talking about just the cost of just maintaining your car. Versus the cost that you could end up with your body. I mean,
I know.
Think about what it takes later on when you're having, you know, joint replacements, or you're having, you know.
What is the cost of the fall?
Well, it could be
huge.
It could be huge. Yeah.
You know, when we talk about it, you know, I go to Curves, the old ladies' gym, but I go there, and when we talk about that, oh, so I'm tired, so I don't want to do this, so this is a little bit of a pain in the neck. Mm-hmm. But what is the cost if you fall? First of all, it could be your total end of independence.
I mean, to take it one step further, especially with broken hips, I mean, the morbidity rate is through the roof. I mean, so we're talking about people that fall and fracture their pelvis or their hip. 60-65% of them are not here after a year.
Wow. It's crazy.
It's crazy.
What about when you break your collarbone, how long you got?
Oh, that's different, right? The pelvis is such a big bone. It takes a lot of resources. You're also not walking well, so right. You have the toll on your cardiovascular system. So it's just like a cascade. So someone that's a little bit older that has comorbidities, maybe they have COPD.
You know, maybe they have diabetes, or maybe they have whatever else.
Yeah, so if they're relying on that exercise to help with their blood sugar, they're relying on the exercise to keep their lungs working well, and all of a sudden that goes away because they're injured, and then your body's allocating resources to heal the fracture.
Yeah.
Sometimes it just cascades into worse problems. And, you know, that's why that statistic is there. It's crazy. And so, again, you don't take care of yourself. You either have poor balance, you have weakness in the lower extremities, and that causes you to trip and fall. It can lead to the end.
And, you know, an exercise can be so easy, okay? So I can be brushing my teeth, and while I'm brushing my teeth, I can do a squat. Maybe not a whole squat.
That's okay.
But if I do even a third of a squat, that's going to make me stronger.
I teach mini squats at work, which is, it's not easy, but again, it's something everybody can do.
Well, when you get in the habit, it's easy.
Yeah, it becomes easier as you do it.
Well, when I started doing the squats, I did them against the wall with a ball behind my back.
It's nice and smooth, yeah.
But now I can just do them.
Normal squats, I love that.
Because you're stronger.
Yep.
Well, that Maria Shriver had said she exercises differently when she's older. She exercises now to have stronger arms and legs. She can pick up the grandkids. Mm-hmm. She does stuff to keep her body so that she can, not like before when you were just crazy
to be
exercise.
Fit, so everybody needs to find their own motivation.
You know,
whether it's, again, being active with your grandchildren or it's, just for your own.
Or I want to live longer.
Yeah, no, absolutely, absolutely.
Or I don't want to be on medications, or I want to be mobile. You know, you can do something as simple as you go to the supermarket and you got two pigs of groceries taken out of your trunk. Well, when you're walking in the house, lift them up and down. Mm-hmm. That's like, so because people say, oh, exercise takes a lot of time. Well, you could just like incorporate
it. Yeah, it doesn't have to. It can, again, and for some people, they love that. It's an outlet for them, you know. But it doesn't have to be a planned, 30-minute chunk of time. It could be 5 minutes. Especially postural. I
need to. Yeah, let's talk about posture.
So when we think about, just how our bodies change over time, right? And so we think about all the things that we do nowadays with the cell phones and the computers and the tablets. And before we had things like this, people read books, right? People read books less often now, but we still have them, right? But, we've always had something that we've done in front of our bodies, right?
Yeah.
With what we call cervical flexion, which is looking down. So these things, when they're repeated, especially if it's part of your job function, it leads to a forward posture, right? So, why is that? Why does it matter? We think about all the forces that your muscles have to generate to offset that forward kind of shift, right? So those muscles have to work harder, right? So, basically over time, we're talking about, faster degeneration rates of the cervical spine. We're talking about flattening or reversal of your curvature, things that tend to happen with that forward kind of activity, right? So, arthritis, for example, is something that will happen faster and change faster over time with that posture as well. So talking about doing things proactively, right? Because we know we're spending time in that forward position. So talking about people that are in their 20s and 30s, not waiting until you're in your 50s and 60s and have these problems, trying to get ahead of it and work on postural re-education. Because, when you're a little older and you already have that forward posture, you can help it, but you can't
harder.
It's harder and you can't quite fully reverse it.
Right.
So you want to try to be proactive with that. And so I tell everybody, it doesn't matter how worse off you are or in what state you're in, you can always improve.
Yeah.
But sometimes there is a limit to that amount of improvement based on how severe it is.
And how long it's been.
And how long it's been there, right? But the exercises, they're 5 minutes. Five minutes, but you have to be consistent. Right,
so what are the exercises, for instance?
So if I were going to, it can be more complicated, but if I was going to simplify it, I would say most people should strive to do some type of mid-back strengthening, maybe some type of rowing. You can use a TheraBand, you can use Gravity, if you have no equipment, but you know, TheraBands are pretty inexpensive.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you do some type of
mid-back maybe training. Just when you're working on your computer, you're standing up to it. I see when I come in your office, you stand up. He stands up to the computer.
I do not sit at all.
Yeah, well.
So you try to pull your shoulder blades together, right?
Oh.
So the muscles that go from the shoulder blade to the spine are your rhomboid muscles. So those muscles are capable of holding those shoulder blades back.
So the TheraBand's behind you?
So the TheraBand's in front of you, anchored right. to something
and you're
in front
pulling.
Of you.
But you're pulling this way.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, this way,
you're trying, yep, you're trying to squeeze those shoulder blades
like
together.
Like close to your...
Right. Yeah, you bring your hands to your chest and you bring your shoulder blades together, and that helps to strengthen the muscles that are between the shoulder blades. And so if you pair that with stretching of your pec muscles, mm-hmm. then the end result is going to be a more backward posture of the shoulders, more toward where it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
Right?
I hate it when I see anybody walking with wrong shoulders.
And they have these rounded shoulders.
Because
yeah.
it doesn't get better.
No, because you have nerves that go from the neck to the shoulder.
And a lot of tall girls have that syndrome.
They do.
My mother used to put her finger in our back.
Yeah, I say straighten up, right? Yeah.
No, my dad just said, stand up tall, you're like a model. I said, thank you, Daddy, and I did.
Yeah.
And I even noticed, even like my stepmother, she's 87. Oh, she always sits in a chair like this.
Yeah.
She sits up straight.
Nice and tall.
Good posture. Yeah. Yeah, because especially as we're older, we tend to get into that recliner.
But it takes effort.
Or that couch.
It does.
And awareness.
Awareness.
Yeah, you have to be cognizant of what's happening with your body. And so, you know, the stretching your pecs and strengthening your mid-back, that's great. And, you know, I would say the third thing that I would make sure that everybody's doing is some type of retraction of the neck, trying to get your head back.
All right, so what's that?
So we call it a chin tuck.
Okay.
So it's straight back.
Yeah.
Straight back. Yep, yeah. There you go, Lynn. so not tilting back. You don't want your chin to move up. You want to move back. So you pull it in. All right, women hate this one.
Well, I can't make it any worse than it is.
Yeah, so, but it is very helpful. And again, you can do this at home. You don't have to do it in public. But, you know, these things are really helpful in keeping you nice and straight.
Well, you know what? So much exercise we can just do, like, during our daily day. I was just talking to somebody the other day. When I was 40 years old, my sister had a surprise party for me. My birthday's in November, but mm-hmm. she had it in October, and she said it was a Halloween party.
She got you.
Yeah, I had to cook for it and everything.
That's a good one.
Yeah. So, but anyway.
Hey, that's how you really trick somebody.
Yeah, she sure did. Yeah. But anyway, I was going to be Catwoman. Well, Catwoman, you know, you like got to be like in good shape,
whatever. Fit.
And I used to commute to Connecticut from Long Island, so all the way driving in the car, I would like suck it in. But it worked.
You were practicing.
My point is, you can do fit the exercises in somewhere in your day.
A good example of that would be like when you're driving, you can pull your head back.
Yeah.
Right? I know people might laugh at you a little bit, but...
Is it back?
You're doing fine. You're doing fine. But it probably feels difficult because you're a little bit forward and your body is resistant, right, to that correction. But you have to be consistent. If you do 10 of those every single day, after a few weeks, you'll see a noticeable change.
Yeah.
Right? So it's just about committing to it and being consistent.
Commitment and consistency.
Yes. And you can say that about anything, right?
Yeah.
But part of it is knowing what to do.
Yeah.
So what
so that, yeah, the time that you commit is actually worthwhile.
Yeah.
Right?
And you know what? Maybe you just thought out a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm doing very little now. No, I am. I'm doing a little. I do like a, you know.
No, what I'm saying, you know your body, too, mm-hmm. and you can feel it. So if you just do a little bit each day, and then after a while, that you get used to that, and then you can do a little bit more. You know, when you...
Well, it's 7 months when they wouldn't let me do anything because I broke my collarbone.
Mm-hmm.
And so I stopped. And
yeah,
it was
put
really
you in a
hard
hole.
To get...
Yeah, you had to fight back from that.
But it didn't heal anyway.
Really?
No. Doctor said that's normal, you move and then...
Like a non-union?
Yeah, non-union.
Yeah.
I had even had the machine I used for 4 months.
Bone growth stimulator?
Yeah. Didn't work.
I'm sorry.
But you know what? This arm's much better than this one.
And you know what? If you can do both that far,
it doesn't
I think it's pretty good. Yeah.
It doesn't bother me
but
at all.
The truth is, if you're missing, you know, the last 10 degrees of shoulder flexion, it doesn't really change your function. Like,
right.
You think about it.
Like how
that's
much
what
do you
this
do?
One I
yeah.
have problem. That's where I'd hurt my
yeah.
shoulder.
But going from here to here, it doesn't really open any doors for you. Right?
Yeah.
As long as you maintain what you have and you use it, you should be okay.
And like the surgeon said to me, he said, you know, nobody would ever know unless they took an x-ray. Yeah. And they'll tell you, ooh, you have a broken collarbone. Yeah.
No, it's very true.
But it doesn't impede anything, so I don't, but they wouldn't let me lie in it.
I mean,
they
you know, sometimes when the collarbone breaks, the bone can overlap. Yeah. They just leave it. Yeah. They just leave it alone.
He said some cartilage could grow in there, something.
Do we have a caller? Do we have a caller on the line? Hello?
Yes, hello, this is Darlene Fuchs.
Oh, hi, Darlene. I'm going to start chatting with you right after our break.
Yep, I just thought I'd get here, so I'm ready and waiting for you.
Sounds good. So, Doc, where can our listeners find you?
So, we are in Seminole, right on the corner of Park and Seminole Boulevard. We have
some TJ Maxx.
That's right, in Burlington. That's right. Yeah. That's a good landmark.
It is. That's the best landmark.
You can also find us on our website, alexanderspinecenter.com. Right. So, and phone number is 727-397-3000.
And for new patients, do you have like a little deal or something?
So we always have a new patient special. If you're being referred in from someone like you, right? We do offer referral benefits as well. So there should never be a barrier to coming in to see us. Just let us know that you heard about us from Linda, and we'll make sure we take care of you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that, as I appreciate you. Yep. Right now, it's time to hear from our wonderful partners, because you know the deal. If you don't hear from them, you don't hear from me. So we'll be right back on Connecting Caregivers Radio.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Arden Courts is not just a place to live. It's a place to call home. Residential living combined with quality caregiving. This is the philosophy behind Arden Courts. Communities created exclusively for individuals with Alzheimer's disease and related dementia who would benefit from a safe and structured environment. For additional information about any of the unique services Arden Courts provides, call 888-478-2410 to locate a community nearest you. Inquire about our educational seminars, resource library, or support groups, or simply feel free to ask questions you may have about Alzheimer's and related dementias. At Arden Courts, we know, we understand, and we can help because memory care is all we do. Remember, call 888-478-2410 for additional information about any of the unique services Arden Courts provides.
Sean W. Scott has been practicing elder law and qualifying clients for Medicaid for over 30 years. While his practice is in all areas of estate planning, such as durable power of attorney, healthcare surrogates, and wills, he also prides himself on having a 100% accuracy rate on getting clients approved for Medicaid. Why Medicaid, you may ask? Do you want to pay up to $16,000 a month for a nursing home should the time come? Obviously, no one wants to have to endure this cost. So, even though you may have planned well for retirement, the reality is, things happen. Planning ahead is never too soon. You need to make sure your income and assets are protected so that you can take care of you and your loved ones. Florida law is very specific on how and what is protected and how to protect it. Give Sean a call. He can help. 727-539-0181. That's 727-539-0181.
My mom was getting older, but she was able to live pretty independently until recently. When her case manager told me she would be discharged from rehab in just a few days, I didn't know what to do, but I knew for sure that she couldn't go back living alone at home. So that's when I contacted Sunway's Senior Living Concierge. My Senior Living Concierge, Lisa, was there for me through the whole process and was a free service for us to compare in-home care options and how that cost would compare to assisted living. With Lisa's help, we found a great new home for Mom, and she is thriving. Take it from me, don't go through this journey alone.
Hi, I'm Ellie Baldwin, co-founder and president of Sunway's Senior Living Concierge. We're a free placement and concierge service for families to help compare senior living communities and find the best place for you or a loved one. Call us today at 727-314-6451 or find us online at sunwaysseniorliving.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
And we are back. So wonderful to have Dr. Schum with us. But now we have Darlene Fuchs. Hi, Darlene. How are you?
I am doing fantastic. How are you doing, Linda?
Joyful and grateful. So we met, I guess, a couple of months back, and you're a writer and an author, and your book is Get in the Boat. And it's a memoir of love, loss, and the dance of dementia. It's very funny. Well, not funny, but one of the presentations I do is called The Dementia Dance. When to lead and when to follow.
Definitely.
idea of... I love that your book is written from your dad's journals. Because my book, Good Night and God Bless, is written a lot from my journals. And I think there's just something about taking those words at the time when it's actually happening than just writing a story about what you can remember that happened.
That is so correct, and it was...
Darlene?
Oh, yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
I can't hear.
Can you hear me now?
Now I can hear you.
Okay, we'll do it this way then.
So...
Yeah, it's so great to be able to have the journals, to be able to take the words and the thoughts from my dad and put them into story context. It was a very hard process to go through, but a promise is a promise.
Well, did you know during that time that he was keeping these journals?
I knew he was keeping a journal. I knew he journaled every day for 6 years. I never read them until I actually had someone take his scratching and his scribbling in these spiral notebooks and type it up for me to actually read.
And... So, was he a journaler before this, or did this just happen on this journey?
He liked to write things down. He had been an assistant pastor at one time in a couple churches back east, so he was very good at being able to put his thoughts down and to put them in such a way that, you know, they would flow together. So I think it was just his way of being able to have some time to reflect on what he was going through, to be able to judge how my mom was doing at that time, and it was his escape to be able to sit there and journal every day.
Yeah, just vent.
Yep,
just vent,
vent
in a non-judgmental area.
Exactly.
And so what were your feelings when you started reading these journals?
You know, I knew he was journaling, like I said, but I did not realize how unfiltered his journaling was. I started reading them from the very beginning after they were typed up, and it was like, oh, man, I'm never going to be able to fulfill the promise of turning these journals into something that's legible, that's a story, because there was so much about, you know, things like pooping at the very beginning, yeah, and all of the things, you know, that he was going through, and
yeah,
then, you know, and it's like, well, and how many times can you write about it?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And then as I got further into reading it, I realized that, you know, what he had asked me is to take this unfiltered version and be able to put it in such a format. Is he was very honest with what he was going through as not just a caregiver, but a man in a situation that was dealing with the intimacy loss or the difference in how he adapted to that. And I found it, I always knew my dad as a jokester, but this is a time when I read the journals and I actually found out that there was a very deep side of him that I had not known.
Well, then you looked at your dad as a man.
Oh, definitely.
Not
yeah,
as a
no,
dad.
That's scary.
Dad as a dad.
That's
and
difficult.
That was hard.
Yeah, very
that was
difficult.
Hard.
Because, no, they're on a pedestal in a different way.
Yeah.
And then, and your heart, you know, we're all daddy's girls in one way. And when you probably read some of the things that he was going through, it must have just crushed your heart.
It did, because he did. We had a very close relationship, and he confided a lot of his emotions with me. I've seen my dad cry numerous times, but when I went through and read everything, I didn't realize the depth of what he was hiding from me.
But nice that he shared it to the page.
Yeah, he did. And
so, when did he ask you to do this?
He asked me to do this after my mom passed away. He survived her by only 5 months. And during that time, he realized he was sick. He was passed away from bile duct liver cancer. And he asked me during that time to please take these journals, who he had other people like read little bits of, and they said, this is a wealth of information. And he said, please promise me that you will take this and write this into a book form.
Wow.
I made the promise. Took me 2.5 years.
Good girl.
Yeah, good it was girl. Hard.
Well, that must have, I can't imagine.
No.
I can't imagine knowing personal things about my father.
Well, and you know what the thing is, too? There are a lot of caregivers' books out there which are just fabulous, but most of them are written by women.
Absolutely.
And by the women that went through the ordeal with their mother or their father or their spouse. You don't find too many that come from the mouths of men.
No. Yeah, you know, I think they have a hard time sharing their emotion,
yeah,
sharing what they're going through, admitting that they go through periods of depression and how they have to deal with that.
Well, we have a hard time with it, and that's our MO. So for them, you know, I do a lot of support groups, and years ago, I had a bunch of support groups, and there was just one man in each group. It was always a bunch of women and one man. And the one man said to me, he said, Linda, do you think we could have a group just for men? Because we have some different issues.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, we could do that. And he was like, do you think you can handle us? I said, I'll do the best I can. But it was a fabulous group because they could really share as men.
And it is different.
Yes. It is different. You know, there are some men that never changed a diaper on one of their children, and now they're changing a diaper on their wife.
That was my dad. He had never cooked a meal, never changed a diaper. He was the typical, 1950s, 60s man. Yeah. Go to work, give your wife the check. She paid the bills.
Yeah.
And that was your duty.
And you did a good duty. And you probably never thought that you were going to have to take care of your wife ailing.
Do we ever?
No.
No.
Nobody thinks about that. And I think maybe, like I say, once again, it's a gender thing. I think some women think about it, but I don't think much men think about it. They just pray to God that they go first.
Exactly. And most of them do.
Yes, do.
I know when I was always happy my father went first. I couldn't imagine him being by himself.
Yeah. Yeah. It's hard.
Yeah, that's why I think so many men decide when they do lose their spouse, to try and find another woman friend that they can at least have some type of relationship with.
Yeah. Well, and then there's the deal with your dad. So he died less than 6 months after your mom, right?
Yeah, they met in Sunday school class together. Oh, okay. So they went through high school, got engaged, the typical, have a baby a year after that.
So to him, what's life without her?
There wasn't life without her for him. He would tell everyone that would come in contact with him talking about my mom's condition and say, all I can do is pray that I'm here long enough to take care of her till her last breath, and after that, I don't care what happens.
You know, when I talk about that support group, we have one guy in the support group, and he used to say, well, after Mary goes, I'm ready to go too. And you know what? He was, pretty healthy. He was a little stressed out as a caregiver, but she died and 3 months later.
Yeah.
You know?
We see that. Yeah, they were married 64 years, so.
Yeah, Dick and Mary, too. It was like 62 years or something. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, and it's their whole life at that point in time.
It is their whole life.
it's their whole purpose.
There's a lot of people that don't even stay married past 10 years these days. So.
Exactly.
So what strategies can caregivers use to support seniors with dementia?
Well, I think a lot of it is initially your communication skills.
Mm-hmm.
I found with helping my dad take care of my mom that communication was one of the very first things that left for her as far as being able to even speak.
Right.
And there are so many ways that we can learn to... I could not call her mom. She would no longer...
answer to mom.
Answer to that. But when I used her first name, Gail, that was still there for her.
Hmm.
I found that getting down on my knees... Eye level was a very big one for me. Speaking very slow, yes and no type of questions where she could either nod or tap her finger on something.
Mm-hmm.
It's just really getting back to the very basics of communication.
And remembering that we need to go to their level right now. There is no way that they can come to our level.
That is correct.
So, you know, we can argue till we're blue in the face and frustrate the heck out of ourselves, or we can just get back to basics.
Yeah, it comes to basics with everything. I mean, even the basics as far as, you know, trying to educate yourself about the condition that your loved one is in.
Yeah.
Reaching out to support groups like you have with Connecting Caregivers or different Facebook sites. I mean, education, I find, takes out, it demystifies dementia, and it allows us at least to understand it a little bit more.
Right.
And without education, we are constantly doubting ourselves. Well, and that's really difficult.
You don't know what you don't know. And when you know better, you do good better.
Well, and I tell a lot of caregivers, too, because you have this, if I had, you know, after the fact.
Yeah.
And, you know, I always say, you're not going to be perfect. And what you did at the time, you did with the knowledge you had.
Exactly.
And if later on you learn more and you question what if, don't go to the what if. Just help somebody else learn what you were not able to learn at the time.
Yeah. You know, I had a live support group this morning, and there was a woman, it was the first time at a group. And she was in tears by the time she left. She's like, thank you. You know, like, just knowing she was not alone. Just admitting a couple of things or hearing someone else admit what was in her head was just phenomenal.
Yeah, I find so many times we know the answer, but we don't know the answer until somebody else really brings it to the forefront.
Right.
And then we get it because somebody else has voiced what we've been thinking, and it's okay.
Well, you know what the thing is? If your loved one has dementia and you have a friend or whatever that has never dealt with someone with dementia, it's hard to understand. It's really a hard thing for someone else to understand. So I think what we have to do is, besides educating ourselves, we have to educate our loved ones and the people that surround us.
And even then, some of the loved ones that surround...
don't want to deal with it.
Parents, they don't want to because... I don't know if it's fear. I think some of it is fear.
Yeah.
Or, once again, the lack of education because they don't know how to react.
Well, and there's the whole fear of, oh, my goodness, maybe sometime my loved one's going to have to go into a community. And, you know, I'm 70, people my age and older are thinking like one flew over the cuckoo's nest.
Exactly. And some of them have been in senior care facilities where, you know, they don't want to be. They don't even want to walk through the door. But there are, I think, over time, we're seeing more and more changes.
Yeah.
And more staffing and more education for the caregivers that are at the facilities, too.
Well, you know, Darlene, I go into these communities. Oh, they're all dolled up. You walk in, right? It looks like a hotel. And they have $10,000 couches and $5,000 pictures on the wall. Just get rid of that stuff and pay your employees.
Exactly, because the turnover is unbelievable with the caregivers.
Well, you can get paid more to work at McDonald's.
Exactly. You know,
and that peace of mind.
And you think about it, you know, they don't have downtime.
No.
When they're there, they're there. I mean, an hour is 60-plus minutes. It's not 45 minutes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's why I think we need to pay more attention to that. You know, it's curious. A friend of mine has made a QR code for her dad, and it's on the door of his room. And it's like three little videos about her dad. Her dad was in the first Super Bowl. And she said, anyone in this community will watch this little video, I'll buy them a cup of Starbucks coffee. Well, everybody that worked there, from the janitor on up, bought it. And every single one knew a whole bunch more about her dad. But what she did is she went one step further, and then for long-distance caregivers, she started interviewing the people that are caring for her dad. And said, this is Mary. She cares for your dad every day. She has three kids, and she loves horses, too.
Yeah, see, and it's, you know, why can't we do that more even as individuals within our own community, get to know each other, not just a face?
Right. Everybody, I can't tell you how the morale is in that place now.
Oh, I can only imagine.
You know,
I mean, somebody to know cheered somebody. To ask me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, and, you know, many of those people in the communities, they're there all day long taking care of your loved one, and then they go home and they got a family to take care of.
Yeah, and it doesn't stop for them.
No. No. So, anybody who's listening, acknowledge your caregivers, please. Just give them a little hug.
The best thing that you could do, hug them and say thank you.
Yeah. And if you want to, you can give them a Starbucks card, too.
Yeah, that would be nice. who wouldn't like a cup of coffee on a long day?
Yeah. So, darling, we just have a little bit longer because I know we could talk here forever. In communicating with dementia patients, how can family caregivers connect?
Well, like we said initially, is get down to their level.
Yeah.
There are things that you can do. I have found that using, you know, things like caregiver cards, where if someone does not have the verbal skills, they can at least hopefully look at a card, or you can look at it with them and get them familiar. They can just point to something.
Right.
So they can tell you whether they're happy or they're sad or, you know.
Yeah, because sometimes they're a little bit agitated and you don't know why.
Well, they can tell you if you have a card that says, you know, shows a bed or shows, you know, food or water.
Yeah.
It's much easier for them to tap and point something than to try and put it into words.
Yeah. And it makes it easier for us.
It does. It saves so much time, and it helps take away the aggravation that you might feel with your loved ones. Make it a lot easier.
And I'll just say, so people, if you don't have cards like that, you can set it up on your iPad. You can put a bunch of pictures on your iPad, and when you go to see mom, you'll have that to better communicate, whether she's in a community or at home.
Great idea. I found another thing, too, is when your loved one is very restless. They're called different things, fidget blankets, fidget books. Things to keep them occupied. A lot of people like to just, what we call in the book is TTT, touch, travel, and, you know, transition. And it's, you know, just that restlessness, and to be able to sit down and have something that is with
tactile,
that can, can keep them busy, will allow a caregiver a little bit of respite time, which is so greatly needed.
Well, because so much about everything with caregiving can be distraction. Just distract them. Just distract them. Just do something different. But, you know, I find that caregivers get, I'm so agitated because mom's making me crazy. Well, just sit down with her. Just sit down with her, and maybe then you can better figure out what's going on.
Maybe she just wants
you. Yeah, maybe she just wants you to touch her.
Touch has so much. When it comes to healing, it can take the agitation away.
Yeah, what happens when you have a child and the child falls? What's the first thing you do? You hug them.
Yeah, and I find, too, that a lot of it is we have to be very careful of our tone. We may think that we're saying the right things, but, boy, do they pick up on our tone and our body language.
Well, that's when I have caregivers, too, that tell me, oh, I didn't realize I was gritting my teeth until I broke two teeth.
Exactly.
I used to just say to myself, he can't help it, in my head.
Right.
Because I wanted to hit him.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
He can't help it.
He can't help it.
And you know what? And I just say to my caregivers sometimes, you just got to put in your head, I'm going to be the best caregiver I can.
And sometimes it's like being on stage. We have to become somebody else.
Yeah. And it's okay to do that.
Yeah.
Darling, where can our listeners find you, and where can they find your book?
Book is on Amazon in all formats, including audiobook.
Very cool.
So that's easy for everyone if they just want to sit back and listen.
Yep.
If you want to go direct and get all kinds of information, you can go to my website, which is getintheboatbook.com.
Okay, and I'll put all that information in the show. Thank you so much for being with us today. I so appreciate
you. Thank
you,
Linda, for all you do.
Let's talk soon.
We will. We'll
have a delicious day.
You too. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
And now, once again, it's time to hear from our wonderful partners, so don't go away. We'll be right back on Connecting Caregivers Radio.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network. Choosing the right chiropractor is an important choice to make. Located in Seminole, the Alexander Spine Center team is trained on the latest chiropractic treatments and technologies. At Alexander Spine Center, you'll find chiropractic and physical therapy care that is safe, effective, and a natural approach to pain and other health-related issues. Chiropractic unlocks your body's potential and natural healing process to ensure your life is a healthy life. We treat clients from the womb to the tomb. Call 727-397-3000 for a free consultation today or visit our website at www.alexanderspinecenter.com.
They take good care of me twice a week, so check them out.
Arden Courts is not just a place to live. It's a place to call home. Residential living combined with quality caregiving. This is the philosophy behind Arden Courts. Communities created exclusively for individuals with Alzheimer's disease and related dementia who would benefit from a safe and structured environment. For additional information about any of the unique services Arden Courts provides, call 888-478-2410 to locate a community nearest you. Inquire about our educational seminars, resource library, or support groups, or simply feel free to ask questions you may have about Alzheimer's and related dementias. At Arden Courts, we know, we understand, and we can help because memory care is all we do. Remember, call 888-478-2410 for additional information about any of the unique services Arden Courts provides.
We believe the power of the human body and mind can do amazing things, and that tapping into that power, not just tricking it with a temporary disguise, is possible. Superpatch technology uses a special pattern and vibro-tactile technology to help you go from feeling blah to hurrah. Now, once the superpatch is in contact with your skin, it triggers a neutral response in the brainstem that helps you tackle your daily problems head-on. Whether you're struggling with pain, balance, stress, or focus, we have a solution that might be right for you. With Superpatch's 30-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose and everything to gain.
Hi, this is Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregivers. I started using the Liberty Patch over 3 years ago. I used to be a tripper, but since wearing a Liberty Patch, I haven't tripped once. The Liberty Patch is proven to reduce the risk of falling by up to 8 times. And as we all know, if you prevent the fall, you prevent the call. Don't wait until it's too late. Preventative solutions are the answer.
Superpatch does not claim to diagnose, treat, or cure illness. Superpatch is FDA registered. To receive 25% off your first order, go to sticktoit.info. That's sticktoit.info and learn more.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
And we're back. I'm so glad that Dr. Schumann was with us today. Like I say,
yeah,
keeps me healthy. So we have some events coming up on Thursday, March 14th. From 10:30 to 1 at Bethel Lutheran Church will be Dr. Peter Ravens. And Dr. Peter Ravens is the author of The 36-Hour Day, which is like a Bible for caregivers for many years. And he's out with a new book, and is it Alzheimer's? 101 Answers. He'll be at that event. The lunch will be provided. But the coolest thing is, this is on March 14th, but on March 1st, he'll be a guest on the show. And I am privileged and happy that he's going to be here because, like I say, he's a renowned author and he has a lot of really, really good information. So if you want to go to the seminar, you can RSVP by calling Arden Courts of Seminole at 727-517-7800. I'll put all this information in the show. If by any chance you need it another time, just email me at my website, lindaburhans.com, and I'll send it to you. Also, we're back with Sage's Theater. The latest show is Phony Baloney. And they will be March 10th in New Tampa Performing Arts, March 16th, St. Patrick Catholic Church in Largo, March 23rd, Ruth Eckert Hall. So cool, have they?
I know, very fancy there.
And March 30th at the Pinellas Park Performing Arts. So these are shows for seniors that address topics we need to talk about in a fun and funny way. All the shows are free. I'll put all this information on your website, or you can go to Sages, S-A-G-E-S, Theater, theater.org, and register there. And this month, the last seminar this month for Sean Scott is on, hold on a second, is on February 20th from 10 to 12 at the William Hale Senior Activity Center in Dunedin. So you can RSVP at his office at 539-0181, or you can just show up because you don't have to RSVP. So I'm so glad everybody's here today. I'm so glad I had an exciting support group this morning. You know, when a new person comes in and the end of the group, they're saying, I'm so glad I was here. I didn't know that. Oh my goodness. I'm so glad I found out about this. I'm telling you, it sends my psyche like off the walls. And when I see all the other people in the support group embracing that person and saying, yeah, we were right where you are before and here we're to help you, it just makes a whole. So I'm grateful for Arden Courts for sponsoring my live support group, which is the second Friday of every month. And if you want, you can go on to my website, lindaburhans.com, look at the calendar, and see where I am. Thanks so much for tuning in today. You know how much I appreciate you guys. Come on, register somebody for the caregiver contest. Remember, God loves you all the time, and have a delicious day.